Hi, New Hope. We are so grateful you're here with us today. My name is Jenny Herzog, and I have the privilege of introducing one of my heroes who will speak with us today. His name is Tom Agum, and he is the heart and founder of a charity called Hope for Kids International out of Phoenix, Arizona. I first met Tom and Hope for Kids on my first mission trip to Uganda in 2010. That trip changed my life. I fell in love with the people. And I came back with just a sense of purpose that I wanted to do everything I could to serve them. So I told my stories to everyone at church and the staff at New Hope, and they decided to partner with Hope for Kids as well. We started sponsoring a village called Buninza in Uganda. We put in a church, we put in two wells, we started sponsoring ladies to start their own business. And New Hope families have sponsored over 250 kids. We've taken teams over to do mission trips to Uganda and visit our friends in Buninza. And the ripple effect has just been amazing. Today, I really hope that you will be inspired by Tom's message. He is a man that has so much faith and so much passion. And when you hear his story and how he's been obedient to God and changed lives all over the world, I know that it's going to touch your heart. So I just pray that you'll ask God, how can I make a difference in the world, wherever it is? And if you're considering doing something in Uganda, we have an opportunity for you today. Out in the lobby after the service, we will have profiles of kids that you can sponsor. It's $1 a day, and that gives those children a chance to go to school to hopefully get that education where they can break the cycle of poverty. It gives them hope for their future. I've had the privilege of sponsoring 11 kids to go to elementary school and high school and 6 to go to college. And when I go over to Uganda, I get to spend time with them. And I can tell you, their lives are really transformed. They're so full of confidence and joy and gratitude. And I'm telling you, it blesses your life too, because they will pray for you. And it is just going to be an amazing partnership. So check us out in the lobby, and now I'm going to say jambo to Tom, which is hello in Swahili, and I just hope that you will really enjoy his message.
Wow, Jenny, nailed it. Good job, girl. Jambo also can be a greeting, like goodbye. So after watching that today, I thought, there's nothing more for me to say, so thank you, Jambo. But I'll do something here. It's so good to be back here. This was actually, we used to live in the area here in Maryland, and this was our home church for several years, and we moved away. This May will be 5 years ago, so wow, I can't believe all that time is gone. But we loved this place and got to know some of you, many of you have traveled with us, and I've been anxious to get back here. I'm sorry I didn't make it in January. I had COVID, so I decided not to bring that to you. So I stayed home, which really took something for me to stay home. But anyway, I'm glad to be here today. And I have to say something about Pastor Rusty, which you can see he's not here. He was really looking forward to hearing me speak, as you can tell. So he did find a speaking, a church he could speak in. Actually, he's speaking at, I think it's First Baptist, or where they actually planted this church 30 years ago. So I'm sure they're being blessed over there. But I have such a respect for Rusty. I've traveled with him to Africa, and he became my pastor here, and I always enjoyed his teachings. And he was the kind of guy, and I know you know this, but I just have to say it, that if you're going through a struggle, he's the guy that will be there for you. And I really found him to be just a dear brother in Christ and a dear friend. So we've sure missed this whole place and all of that, but I'm glad to be here this Sunday and to be with you today and be reacquainted with some and meet some new friends here and just be a part. I had this fascination by Washington, D.C., even flying in yesterday. I took photos of the monuments and stuff, and I really missed that. Not the politics, but the buildings. But anyway, it's great to be back here. I have a few PowerPoints to show you this morning, a few slides to show you. to introduce you to, I know a lot of you have never heard of Hope for Kids before or have heard very little, and some of you need to be refreshed. And so I'm going to step aside here and kind of go through these pictures here. But if you have any questions that beyond what I share today, you can always go to our website, h4ki.org, is the easiest way and be able to see that. So this is Hope for Kids Sunday here. Yay, we're here. Yeah. All right. So this is my family. I got people are always asking about my family. I have three older kids, Nick, Stefan, and Natalie. And then we have some African friends with us at a Suns game. Hey, you went by. I didn't get to point my wife. The young one in the middle there with the glasses is my wife. And yes, she did marry way over her head. But anyway, thought that was funny. But over here is my son Grant and my daughter Sophia. And then Kiana's on the left there. She lives with us, been with us about 3 years. And both of those girls are seniors. And these are my two grandkids up here at the ranch. So anyway, that's my family. So, and when people ask me how my babies are doing, usually they're talking about my donkeys, because I do a lot of social media stuff with our animals. We've got donkeys and horses and cattle and geese and ducks and rabbits and guineas and chickens and... yeah, all kinds of animals, kitties. It's a zoo. But anyway, that's where we live in Oklahoma. Our mission is to restore hope around the world by empowering kids to break the cycle of extreme poverty through these principles, bringing dignity, bringing health, bringing joy and love. So those are the four pillars we build everything on. So if you look at our projects and every program we have, it's all connected to those four right there. Our international mission trips have been on pause for 2 years, obviously, through COVID. My last trip, I was actually in the Philippines, and they said, you need to get out of the country. We're shutting down the airport in 48 hours. So that was our last trip 2 years ago, in March. So exactly 2 years ago. But we're continuing. We're taking it off pause. We're looking at each country individually, and we're hoping to have some teams back in Uganda in July. We're continuing to go to Guatemala, Mexico, the Philippines, Romania, and India and Nepal. But you really have, let me see the next slide here. You really have to check out our website /trips to find out if those dates are actually solid or whatever. But it looks like we're going to Nepal in August. And then September, we'll be back in the Philippines. So if you're interested in traveling with us, it's a life-changing experience. Let me show you here. This is, people, probably one of the questions I'm asked most often is, what if I just gave you the money instead of go with you? And every time I'll say, come with us. Because like we've talked about earlier with Jenny, she was if it wasn't for her initially going with us and the ripple effect of impacting many of your lives as well as lives around the world. And we wouldn't call this Jenny's church either, by the way. Yeah. But anyway, the foundational experience is, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And that's really the experience of going. The impact you're going to have there, as well as telling your own story here, is really something. Now, these last 2 years have been absolutely amazing. I was so fearful of what was going to happen to Hope for Kids and our kids and all of that during, when COVID first struck, and we thought we're going to lose sponsors and all of that. And the bottom line is, we lost very few sponsors. We were able to pivot and provide education for our kids, even though they weren't physically in school. We bought solar-powered radios. They could listen to this radio station in the village. We hired unemployed teachers. We rented or bought 4 hours of airtime every day at this really powerful radio station, and they were able to broadcast the lessons to the kids. So a lot of our kids' education continued. Where and in the Philippines, we used little tablets. I mean, there were just all kinds of creative things happening that we were able to at least do that. All the kids are back in school now everywhere. So that's great as of the 1st of January, January 15th. But what's exciting to me is, and this was our plan, but didn't think it would actually have to be put into movement right away, is that we've empowered local people. That's what we don't hire people from here to go live in another country and do the work. We empower the people of that nation because they know the culture, the language, everything, and we empower them to be the ones that are carrying the vision. And we ask them, how do we respond to this? We don't say, I think you need to respond to that. We did that for years and made a lot of mistakes, but now we ask them. So what's really cool about this is all that's gone on while we were away. In fact, when we were in Uganda in November, there were just a few of us from our staff that went. They had a theme, while you were away, this is what we did. And I just want to say also, God's hand of favor has been on this ministry for 49 years. I mean, when I look back at our history and all the people who've traveled with us and all the kids we've sponsored and all that, God's hand of favor has been there in just a powerful way. And I've often said, if you've traveled with us, you've heard me say this, that if God took his hand away, we'd be in trouble. Because he has opened the way and watched over us in just incredible ways. One of the things, there it is. This is our team on the ground. In we actually have, with our schools now, we have over 75 employees. They're all Ugandan. They're all people that are well-educated and trained and are absolutely amazing. When they would show up in their little Hope for Kids shirts or whatever, even though the country was on pause, they stopped us from drilling wells for about 2 weeks, and then the door was open to us. Where it wasn't open for a lot of people, we continued to drill wells. By the way, we drilled 113 wells last year. Our previous record was when it was my 40th, and we did some extra things and did 100, but usually we're 65, 75, 80, something like that. So this is absolutely amazing to see what's happened during this time. And a lot of it's because God's hand of favor on these young people that were able to continue to do the ministry, even in better ways, because we weren't there interfering. You know what I'm saying? So this was really something. 2020 was our best year ever. 2021 was our best year ever, by over $1 million better than 2020. It's been absolutely amazing to see God's provision. I think a lot of it has to do with generosity of people. When we've been at home, I had one couple say, we were going to go on a cruise, but we didn't go, so drill a well. You know, that sort of thing. But people have really been generous. And I like to think people, when we're going through tough times and we're struggling and we're losing family members and having people sick all around us, that it reminds us, if it's tough for us, how is it for those people living in extreme poverty? So we were able to get food to the villages. We were able to get seeds out there so they could plant crops and different things, where a number of organizations were paralyzed. They could not operate during this time. But our report is the same. Romania, the Philippines, Guatemala, Nepal, everywhere, because of our team on the ground. In fact, we recently purchased 26 acres in Uganda, where our headquarters are. And all of this was done while we were gone. This down here is the Kathy Hildebrand. That's our big education center. That's all the headquarters. Here we just opened up a vocational skills center, where kids are in vocational school there, and here's the Fairmont Christian Secondary School. Actually, that's done, and kids are in that. It's an old picture, and a meeting place outside, and it's just been absolutely amazing to see this team and what they've done in Uganda, but around the world. We've also been able to continue to do some medical outreaches. We're actually building a medical center on our campus now, and we'll be training nurses there. And anyway, lots of stuff going on. But we do the portable ones that go out in the villages. Some of you have been a part of that. We're continuing to do that, respond to that need. But our first step in seeing the crisis that there is there, I remember when I first went there 18 years ago to Uganda, I heard a stat that said 52% of the children die before their fifth birthday. And the major reason, 85% of their diseases were waterborne. And the Ministry of Health, we had built a hospital, and the Ministry of Health said to me, he said, Tom, I see you've drilled a well here. If you could focus on that, that would save way more lives, and people won't have to come to your hospital. So back up one, please. This always gets me. Every day, 3,000 children around the world die from the lack of clean water and clean sanitation. And that's a big part of our water program. It's not just drilling a well. We've rehabilitated. I can tell you, let's see the next slide. How many wells have we done? 885 wells are operating. My thing has been, I don't care about the number we've drilled. I want to make sure they're operating. We've replaced some of the original galvanized steel because it was rusting with stainless steel. We've rehabilitated several hundred wells. It's absolutely amazing to see this changes lives. So that investment is $10,500. You're very familiar with Feed My Starving Children here at New Hope. You've packed meals. I know my family and I packed a couple times here over the years we were here. We actually have a container arriving in Mombasa, Kenya, right as we speak. We continue to be able to do that and feed about 1 million meals a day or a year. Child sponsorship, Jenny's already mentioned that in the video, $1 a day, $31 a month. It empowers helpless children to break the cycle of poverty with quality education, health care, nutritious meals, and emotional guidance with the love of Jesus. I love that picture. And the key verse is, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. These are the cutest pictures. These are little kids at our preschool. We have a preschool in the Philippines, and this was their graduation, their little caps. Anyway, I love kids. This is Ken, by the way. He's my executive director. He retired early from hospital administration. He was the CEO of a number of hospitals and retired at 52 and came to travel with us and said, I'd like to work for an organization like this. So I hired him 6 years ago. So he does all the work. I just travel and take the credit. But this is what your sponsorship will provide: highest quality education, uniform shoes, school supplies, motivation and improved grades, social worker for emotional and academic needs, medical care, 1 to 2 meals a day, knowledge they are part of a Christ-centered extended family and hope despite the trials. So that really changed life. So today we have over 3,000 children receiving sponsorship through us. These are kids that are actually from the village of Buninza that Jenny mentioned, and they're available in the profiles out on the table out back, so that's real personal. And these are kids that we've been in our sponsorship program, but now they're in our higher education, vocational, and it takes a little bit more. I think it's like $93 a month we can send those kids. So this is awesome. Jenny, in her video, said 250. She was wrong. It's over 400 children have been sponsored. Let's cheer. That's awesome. So thank you for sponsoring. You really have the heart, and you've participated in Walk for Waters with us. You've been involved in 22 boreholes, which these following ones here are some of the wells. Some of the villages you've sponsored, and those are actual pictures. This one is Jenny's dad's well, Papa's well, right here in that village. So thank you so much for. On April 30th, you can do a virtual walk. We do it on the ranch. We get out and walk all over the ranch and get our miles in, and it's virtually done all over the world. Actually, people from all over the world participate. April 30th, if you want to be a part of that. So. Last one, sponsor a child, sponsor a class, sponsor higher education, fund a borehole, donate to a project, travel with our teams. Those are some of the ways you can get involved with Hope for Kids. So thank you, New Hope Church. Awesome. Let's. Absolutely amazing. Amazing. So 12 years ago you went. Look what's happened. That's just absolutely amazing. So thank you. Now, I am going to, I have less time than last time. I must have gone on and on. Talking to Rusty a few weeks ago about what topic to address this morning, and I love to preach God's word. That's been the call of my life for over 50 years. I love to give updates and all of that, but this is the heart of what I do. I just love to speak about Jesus and tell about his great love. I'm not going to get emotional about that. 1 Corinthians 9:22 and verse 23 were the scriptures that Rusty asked if I would talk about, and talk about just the heart to share Christ with people in our everyday lives and that sort of thing. And this is a good one. It says, Paul's saying, to the weak I became weak, to win the weak. And that's the easy one for me. I can be weak really easily. And he says, I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means, and here's the heart of it, I might save some. And I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. It's one of my favorite scriptures to go to because I sometimes, especially when we started moving Hope for Kids in the direction of helping with medicine or helping with sponsorship and things, people said, "Oh, you're getting away from preaching the gospel." But to me, this is preaching the gospel. You know, people hear, they can hear and hear, but it, unless you show it, as the scripture said there, and this has been a non-negotiable with us. Our board has talked about it over the decades, saying we always want to be a Christ-centered ministry. We're faith-based. We're about Christ. If we can receive funds but not talk about Christ, we don't want the funds. If we can do a project but we can't speak about Christ, we don't want to be a part of it. And God's honored that over the years. We've always stayed with that to say we want the opportunity to say it's because of Jesus, his love, or pray a prayer or whatever with people that we've been in touch with. So that's a non-negotiable, that we want to share the gospel and whatever. And we've had to say no to some finances because of that restriction. I remember an experience. This is way back in the 90s, when I started this ministry 49 years ago, smuggling Bibles into the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. And over the years, when it began to open up, we began to respond with medical needs to children in hospitals and in orphanages, and it became more bringing in supplies and different things like that, and then preaching openly. And I mean, it was really quite a journey. But one of the places we would take our youth teams, we'd visit children's hospitals. And there was a children's hospital in Leningrad, St. Petersburg, it was called back then. We visited this hospital, and the director was the head doctor. He was not very kind to us at all. Very coldly allowed us to go in, and we had a puppet show. You know, we did puppets with kids and everything like that, and told the story of Jesus and gave away Beanie Babies and different things like that. And this next year we came back, he was a little less reluctant. I mean, he let us in, so it was warming up a little bit. In fact, one of the things he said to me, he said, "After you left, we saw our children that had not been responding put their hands in socks and act like your puppets." So he saw something. Long story short, the third year we came back, he was surprised. He even said to me, "Tom, why are you so faithful in coming back? Many people just come one time for the pictures and they don't come back." And then I was able to share with him very openly about Christ and his love for me and how he changed my life and how I wanted to show that love around the world. And I could tell by his questions, and probably some of them had happened earlier, but this was really the time that he was asking some deep questions, and then at the end said, "Would you pray for me? I want to be a follower of Christ." And so I prayed with him. His name was Dr. Gorbachev, different one, but anyway. But we prayed together, and that was in August. And I got word that in October, he had died of a heart attack. And I just felt like God brought him across my path. We're focused on the kids, but then, you know, I remember early on when I first started speaking, I had the chance to speak in 1973 with a lady named Corrie Ten Boom, who wrote the book The Hiding Place and hid Jews and was in concentration camp. Just an amazing story. And I met her because we were both the speakers. I met her in the green room, and I said, "I just got back from the Soviet Union. I smuggled Bibles for the first time. What advice can you give me?" And she said, "Here's how I live my life. God never allows anyone to come across my path that he does not intend to do something in my life into theirs or their life into mine." And I've tried to live that way. It was a great advice, and Dr. Gorbachev was one of those, you know, those people that I really felt like God brought me, and you don't always get to see the results, but here's the point I want to make, is that look at every day. Is it a day for you to make a difference in somebody's life? You know, the scripture says that while we were still in our mother's womb, God saw us, and he formed us, he knit us together, it says, and he rejoiced over us. So look at this one. This is a rare one. You know, imagine what it was like when you were born, Jenny. But anyway, had to get that in. But I remember about 20 years ago, exactly 21 years ago, my mom died at 80, lived a great life. And when my sister was going through some of her belongings, she found a letter that had been written in 1950, the year before I was born. And she wrote to a guy named John D. Jess, who was a radio preacher with Back to the Bible, I believe, and said, I'm expecting a baby, and I'm not sure. You know, I have three daughters, but I want to, if it's a boy, I want to guide him into ministry. And at that time, that was pretty common, that men were the ones that went into ministry. And then we had never heard about this letter. She had never mentioned it to me that I've been praying that you'd be in the ministry. But little Tommy, let me just give you an insight. I'm still a little rough around the edge now. And at 70, I'm still a little immature. I have that gift of immaturity. Yeah. I've never fit in the box. You know, I still love to get on my Harley. Delaney, I love to get on the Harley. And ride. And, you know, there's just something that's just not right about this guy. Little Tommy was wild. When I was a high school kid, I was so mean to people, and I was so full of anger, and I was so angry at the thought of God, and I cursed God and anybody that believed in him. So I'm sure to my mom, there was a lot of heartbreak. Little Tommy. But, you know, I got in trouble with the law, hit the bottom, said, God, help me. If you're out there, if you can get me out of trouble, I'll serve you. And that's basically what happened. So I'm glad my parents were able to see that I did come to Christ and began that journey of trying to make a difference in the world and trying to live, you know, with purpose. So Ephesians 2:8 says it all right here. This is the nutshell. If I have one scripture I could just nail right here today, this is it. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. Nothing can improve our standing with God. Our best works or changing the world cannot do that. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we, verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork. No mistakes. You're who God designed. You're who God saw in your mother's womb. He saw you and he created, it says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's why people are so empty, because they're not allowing God to work through them, not allowing God to have them be the hands and feet of Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now I'm just saying, I got to get on board here. I was created for a purpose. I got to get going. But you know what happens? A lot of times when we fail or we make a mistake or we have a difficult time in our life, we stop. We go, why would God want to use me? Let me tell you a story that happened to me soon after I came to Christ and went out to Bible college in Los Angeles. I was a fish out of water in Bible college. I didn't fit. I questioned everything, and I argued about stuff, and most everybody was preparing for ministry there, and I just could not see myself ever working in a church. It just wasn't me. I had a heart for guys on bikes, and I went to the State Street and witnessed the guys on motorcycles. I went up to Sunset Strip and bought coffee for kids that were struggling with drugs. That's where I felt at home. Then I read a book called God's Smuggler, about a guy that filled the back of his Volkswagen up and drove through the East German border into the Soviet Union and prayed, Lord, when you saw blind people, you made them see. Now when you see seeing guards, make them blind. And I thought, cool. You can do something illegal for God. So my call probably wasn't the holiest, but it got me in. And I really struggled those first months at college. And it was a very strict school. You couldn't drink. You couldn't use drugs. There was a strict curfew and a small student body, so everybody watched everybody. So one weekend, I got discouraged and broke all the rules. And I came to school on Monday, and I was in chapel. It was a daily chapel. And one of the students came to me and said, Dr. Forrest, the president wants to see you. And I just sat there fuming the whole time thinking, I'm gone, and I don't really care. I can't live this Christian life. It just isn't, you know. So I went up to his office afterward, and when I walked in, I could see the look on his face. He wasn't angry at me. And he said, Tom, sit down. He said, you really had a difficult weekend, didn't you? And I'm thinking, yeah, somebody told you. And he said, don't say anything. I just want you to know, I've been thinking about you. and praying for you all weekend. And I want you to know everything's fine. All I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to pray for me. And I'm thinking, what? What is this gospel? I've sinned. I've made all these mistakes. I broke the rules. And the president is asking me to pray for him. And he said, we knelt by a chair. And he said, put your hands on me and pray. I didn't know what to pray. I don't know what I prayed. It probably wasn't a very good prayer. I just prayed something. I don't even know if I spoke to the right God. I just prayed. And then he put his hands on me and prayed for me for forgiveness. And then he said, before we stood up, he said, Tom, I want you to remember this. Never forget. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. It takes the same grace to forgive me as it does you. That's all we have. I'll never forget that. That changed my life because I've made lots of mistakes. I've failed many times. My greed's gotten away. This has gotten away. That's gotten in the way over these 49 years, but God is always there. I pray a prayer most every morning. I did this morning as well. I carry with me a double-sided sheet of all my family and friends and staff and people on my list, and I pray through that every day. And I always start my prayer by saying, loving God. And I just stop there. Because I know he's a loving God. Because he's loved me through all this. And then I say, thank you for your mercy and your grace. And for the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And I say, it's all I have. And I mean it. It's all I have. Not a thing I've done in my lifetime puts me in a better stance with God. It's only because of that. Because he sees you and me through Christ, sees us perfect, forgiven. Wow. See, that's the gospel right there. And to think of that is just absolutely amazing. And then I always say, thank you for another day to serve you. And some of you remember when I lived out here, I was facing the end of my life because of stage 4 cancer. And one of the reasons we moved here was to be near my wife's family. And through a miracle, when Pastor Rusty and Jenny and a few of you were there in Bonanza in Africa, the poorest people on the planet reached their hands out and prayed for me. And my cancer went backward from that day on. And now I'm still cancer-free. Yeah. So I mean that when I say thank you for another day. And if you've been through something like that, you know what I mean. You just have a better thing on life. You know, as I've been reminiscing these last 49 years, and I turned 70 this August, and, you know, you tend to look back when you get old and look how far we've come or what we've done. But as I did and as I've shared some of those stories, I had this thought, what if God, when he saw me in my mother's womb, little Tommy, had a whole lot more in mind for me than what I've been a part of? Has prejudice stopped me from doing something he prompted me to do? Has selfishness or greed or self-centeredness or whatever gotten in the way? Lack of love, not caring. You know, there's been lots of those times in my life. So the answer is, he had way more than this planned for my life. But the good news is, and that hope wells up in me, I'm not dead yet. Still have time. And there's a lot of inspiring stories of God using people in their retirement years and in their 80s and in their 90s. And you think of the life they've lived. And I told our staff a few weeks ago, I said, we're going to celebrate 50 years next year, but let's not get lost looking back. Let's look forward and say, we're going to make these next years greater than the sum of all of those 50. So I'm filled with hope, but I know I have to say, God, I'm available. I'm available to be your hands and feet. Help me be weak to the weak. Help me be strong to the strong, that I might win some. that we might make a difference in the lives of those we work with, that we make a difference in our families, that our schools, wherever we are, that God desires to use us. And I've often heard, if we make ourselves available, He's more available than we ever will be. There will be opportunity for you. He'll bring people across your path so you can be a light for Him. Well, are we together on this? Does this resonate? Are we speaking the same language? Let's pray. Loving God, thank you so much for your word, liberties we have to share your word. Thank you for these beautiful people that are watching online or here in the room here. We ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us, continue to speak. I know you already are prompting us. We could be more available in this area, or more available. We could do more. We could make a greater impact in the world. So God, fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit. Just I love to think that when you fill us, it just, the outflow of our life is wanting to make a difference. It's not a task. We want to be your light, your hands and feet. We give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.